Thank you. There's quite a bit more people than I was expecting. And we're also filming for the people to watch after. So this is even more stressful for me. You can judge that by the amount of times I went to pee in the last hour, which was three or four. I didn't count myself. Yeah, I lost some hair in between as well. Don't really know what happened. So anyone pumped for 2018?
Yeah.
Catalina is. Ben too. All right. I'm pumped as well. I'm really pumped for 2018. It's going to be a great year for all of us. All of us. I've heard some very, very, very interesting New Year resolutions from two people. Where's Lizzie? Lizzie over there has probably the most interesting one. She is aiming to drink more beer, I think, right? More beer this year. This is not something you hear a lot for a New Year's resolution. The second interesting one for me was Ricardo. He wants to play more video games this year. Prove, right? Hopefully one of our games, right? Anyone else has any interesting New Year resolution?
Get my driver's license.
That's a good one. Yeah. Starting from zero?
I have the theoretical. I need to do the practice. I'm still learning to drive. I know the theory.
Cool. Good start. Is Matt going to help you with that?
See, I'm the opposite. I know how to drive, but I don't know what any of the signs mean.
All right. Cool. No one else? No.
Becoming more productive. Maybe you can help with that.
I'm going to try. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah?
Learn enough Polish to be able to live there for months.
Oh, cool. Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very, very, very hard language to learn. So, I'm sure you all have resolution, or most of you, and most of you will fail, with the exception of Lizzie. She's the only one that's going to succeed on that. It's going to be the easiest, at least. She won't have to put too much effort in there. Myself, I have zero New Year resolution. I'm terrible at committing to a thing for a year. Everyone is. Everyone is terrible at committing for a year. There's no point for me to even try. So what I do instead, I have monthly goals. I have things that I know that I can accomplish in a single month. Push-ups is one of the examples. Yeah, it is. I actually didn't intend to do the push-ups because I'm already working out three times a week, full body workout, so the push-ups are extra that I really don't even need. So yeah, I set myself three new skills to learn every month. So this month, I'm practicing bodybuilding for an ectomorph. So for those of you who don't know what an ectomorph is, it's someone who has a hard time gaining mass. The norm is called mesomorph. If you eat the normal amount of calories, you're going to maintain your weight. In my case, the normal amount of calories is 2,036. And if I do eat that, I lose weight. So even before this month, I would eat 3,000 calories every day just to maintain my weight. To give you an idea, it was just 56 kilos. So for me, gaining 5 kilos is actually almost 10% of my body weight, which is absolutely insane. That's an absolutely insane goal, right? And I'm gonna give you tips on how I'm actually achieving that. It's not over yet. I've got 11 more days to go, but it's going okay. It's going okay. And basically, when I was 28, 29 years old, I started stressing out. I was like, shit, I'm gonna turn 30. Like, some of you are over 30 as well. And I don't know if you stress as much as I did, but I was panicking. Like, I was thinking back about all the things that I didn't accomplish yet. I was hoping that by 30 I would have a successful game company with like millions of people playing and giving me money and all of that. But it wasn't the case. When I was younger, I thought I would have kids by 30. I don't care about that actually right now. But there were many things that I thought I would achieve by then I didn't. And I was thinking about how much time left I have in this world when you think about it. Like the average life expectancy in Canada, I think, is about 80 years old, maybe a little older. And I'm 31 now. So when you do the math, it's 50, but I'm going to have kids. My wife is going to force me to have kids. We're taping this. She's going to watch it. She's not going to like that. But yeah, I'm going to have kids. This is going to happen. I'm going to want kids. I just haven't felt ready yet. But when I do have kids, and some people have kids here, you know that you have less time for yourself. I certainly won't have the time to learn 3 new skills every day, every month, every day. Yeah. Every month. I certainly. It's true, but skills that I care about, right? I won't have this time. It's gone. Like there won't be. Let's say half of the time I'm gonna have enough time to do it. So out of like 20 years raising them, maybe 10 of those I'm gonna have like on and off time to learn as much as I'm trying to right now. Maybe. So that leaves me to about 40 years, a bit less than that. So I've learned almost half of the stuff that I'm gonna learn in my life, which to me is kind of scary. It's kind of scary. And that's how I came up with this idea of doing the learning the 3 skills every month. A normal person would learn maybe 1 skill every 5 months, 1 new skill. And for me, that felt like too slow. I just wanted to improve myself on so many levels. In fact, the reason Ben asked me to do this presentation, but the reason we're filming is because I asked Ben, could we film it? Because last month, one of the skills that I was trying to learn was public speaking and storytelling. And I couldn't practice it. I had no audience. And now I have a bigger audience that I could wish for. This is a bit more stressful. So we're going to see how it turns out in the end. And hopefully I'm going to notice things that I'm doing, like movements that I do, the way I speak, the way I look at you guys, stuff like that. So hopefully this is going to turn out to be a good learning experience for me. So, still his first slide. Very productive.
You improved, Danny, because I remember Danny told me that he practiced this actually quite a bit, and that he spent on the first slides during his practice 30 minutes.
This slide took me 30 minutes the first time. Or actually yesterday. Well, it was yesterday that I practiced. What's the time right now? I don't know how much time Juan's going to need, though. Maybe I'm going to need more topic. I've got some extra tips in my pocket, just in case.
Nearly a kilo through.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not even cutting it right now. Juan, be more productive. All right. So I divided that into 2 categories. So life hacks and work hacks. And when Ben approached me initially, I had written an article on Medium. I don't know if any of you know Medium, but it's basically one of the biggest blogging platform, to put it lightly. Like,
can I touch you for a second?
All right. That feels good. So when Ben approached me, I think it was a month ago, I had written this article about work productivity that I shared on Medium, and Ben liked it, and he actually reposted it on the TLR blog as well. So if you haven't read it, it's there. I'm going to give these same tips so you can look them over. But these were work-related tips. I'm going to start with the life skills. There's a few things that I do that are not conventional. Some of you may have seen me do these things, Most of you probably haven't. The first one, I'm going to start with a cool one. I really enjoy that one. How much time do you waste on meaningless decisions? Like deciding what you're going to wear today, what you're going to eat tonight, things that you're going to dinner with your wife, girlfriend, like you've got like 2-3 good restaurants, but you spend so much time thinking like, is she going to prefer like the pizza or the burrito or like, who gives a fuck? Seriously, who gives a fuck? Like I've spent so much time sometimes like thinking about that. And like 8 years ago, that's when I came to that solution that you see here in that image. Just flip a coin. It's that simple. Just flip a coin. Pizza, burrito, who cares? Flip a coin. Who has a coin? No one. There's apps for it. You can download it. You can flip a coin on your phone. It works great. I move too much, eh? I'm gonna see that on camera after. So yeah, meaningless decisions. I like to joke that I chose to marry my wife, flipping a coin, or bought my first condo. That is not the case. I did not do that. She thinks I did though, but I didn't. Tip number two. Oh, I did not see that. All right, tip number two. Easy one. Everyone can do this one. Everyone commutes or walks or takes the bus or drives to work. Make this productive. It's easy. It's so easy. Like there's this podcast that I'm watching listening to right now, the Tim Ferriss Show. It's absolutely, absolutely incredible. He interviews other successful people or interesting people that did different things in life and have really, really good tips on everything, life tips. The one I was listening to this morning was about swimming. And for me, swimming is actually an interesting topic because I suck at it. And I also lost the microphone.
So, I just make up another life hack.
Oh.
I'm gonna clip it to your shirt, so it might work better. All right. It's the first time we're recording this, so sorry for being a little bit clumsy in terms of technology. Ah, that looks cute. Amazing.
All right. So yeah, swimming for me is an interesting skill because I'm terrible at swimming, and this. The guy is the author of a book called Total Immersion, and he has some tips on how to swim. So basically, when I'm walking to work, I learn how to swim. Isn't that great? This is a great tip. Like, you just listen to things you want to learn how to do. And basically, every episode is a different person. It's very inspiring. Just 2 days ago was a doctor who, again, I think it was swimming too. Yeah, it was swimming, and the doctor was 96 years old, and he learned to swim at 93, and it was just obviously very, very, very late, and so where he was trying to do laps, and he was like doing okay, but then one day, like he was 97 at the time, he's like, I'm gonna beat the best score, and like I don't remember who set the score, he's like, I'm gonna beat him. At 97, who the fuck has like crazy goals like that? I thought it was like super motivating to like just do things that no one else does. And like, I come to work and I think about that and I'm like, shit, if someone 97 years old can do it, so can I, right? So, great show, recommend it. If you like reading, Audible from Amazon has a pretty good selection. I don't use it as much as podcasts, but I think it's a useful thing. So I walk 17 minutes to come, 17 to go back, and go to groceries, I brush my teeth, I get dressed, like I always have my headphones learning something new. So no time wasted. Try it. It's worth it. Anyone does that, by the way? Yeah, man, yeah. Working out? Yeah, I can't do that.
Other thing, well, I can't listen to music now.
actually
yeah.
listen to podcasts. The other thing you can do is listen to it at 1.5 speed, which is
yeah. Track. Yeah.
It's true. Like, cooking and be like, speed so you can hear it faster, and it's crazy.
I think I kind of do that more for books because they tend to read a bit slower.
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty smart guy, so 1.5, right? It's not a problem. Yeah, for all of you that don't do it, start it. It's worth it. It's worth it. All right, this one's one of my favorite. Whatever you do, aim frickin' high. One example, we started doing push-ups this week. We're aiming for 100 a day. And to some people, that sounds like a lot. In reality, it actually isn't. When you think about it, like I was talking, like John was coming downstairs when we were doing it. He's like, how many are you guys doing a day? And we're like, oh yeah, we're doing 100. I'm like, yeah. 100. We can do that. Yeah. We're good. And John's like, yeah, did you know that the Navy SEALs do 2,000 every day? You know how easy it was for me to do the 100 when he said that? I'm like, fuck, if I can't even do 100, like this is terrible, terrible. So now I see that 2,000 like, every day, the 100 is actually kind of easy for me. With that perspective in mind, right? Other people have been doing it as well. Violeta and Felipe have successfully done it every single day for 5 days in a row. And I'm saying that because when Violeta mentioned it initially, she's like, yeah, I'm going to do 10 or 20. I'm like, come on. You can do more than that. And she made it. The first day. And obviously with a little success like that, or big success, sorry. With big success like that, you're more motivated to continue and continue doing it. And I was asking her today if she's gonna do it this weekend, cause I'm not gonna do it. I've been working out 3 times a week, like I don't even need it. And she's like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. So now that I've set it on record, she has to do it. So aim high. Good example, obviously, is what I mentioned earlier, the 5 kilos. For someone my size of and my physiology, even 1 kilo is absolutely insane. Basically, for me to get this working, and it works right now, I'm at 19 days, and I will probably succeed, though pretty flush. I've gained 3 kilos in 15 days. I eat 4,500 calories every day. To put that in perspective, everyone knows Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Big dude. Which is next to me, he's probably like 3 times my size. That guy eats 5,000 every day to maintain his weight. So I'm almost eating as much as this beast. And it's hard. It's really hard. The first week I couldn't do it. I was reaching 3,800. But I knew my target. I didn't reach it. I did the best I could, right? Second week I was able to every single day. I eat exactly the same thing every single day. It's insanity. I'll get to that. But basically creating such a menu of items that I know what's inside takes time. So I don't have time. I'm a productive person. So I don't have time to waste trying to figure out what I'm going to eat every day because it takes a while. So every day I eat 7 times, or drink, 600 to 800 calories every time. In the afternoon, I have 3 sessions where I have 2 sessions where I drink 2 shakes, which are 626 calories each, plus my lunch, which is between 600 and 800. So I'm always full. I'm always on the verge of vomiting, and to make things even worse, the workout that I'm doing is absolutely crazy. It's called From Bones to Buff. And yeah. So hopefully I get buff enough. I researched that. It's the second time I do it, actually. I had incredible results the first time. That was 3 years ago. I gained, I think it was 7.7 kilos. It was actually even more insane than now. But I was skinnier back then, so it was easier in some ways. So, if I aimed for 3 kilos, if I did aim for 3, which is not freaking high, it's high, I would have gotten it, right? I would have stopped at 3. I would have been kind of happy. Why not make it just a step harder? Like 5 kilos. This is freaking insane. And I'm going to reach it, right? Super motivating. I love that. I go to the gym. I wake up every morning at 5:45. For you Spanish people, this is insane. 5:45. I wake up. My alarm goes on. I jump out. It's not even hard. It was hard last month and the month before because I didn't have that crazy schedule that I have now. But now with this crazy schedule and this crazy high goal that I have, 5:45, I wake up, I eat, obviously. I eat two protein bars. That's 240 calories. And what I do after is my second crazy goal of the month is to write one article a day on Medium. And I spend only 40 minutes. So I have no idea when I wake up in the morning what I'm going to write. No clue. And I got to figure out the headline. I got to figure out what I'm going to write. So obviously this is really insane. I'm no writer. This is a new thing for me. This is a new skill I wanted to learn. So very, very crazy goal. One article a day, and so far it's been pretty good. I've succeeded every day. I've written one article per day, and after 5 days only, I got published on Medium by the top 7 publication, which for me was an incredible achievement because I thought I would reach that in 6 months. But for me, I thought that was the crazy goal, reaching it in 6 months. So yeah, aim high. Everything you do, aim higher than you think. As human beings, we tend to lowball everything we do. There was even Pepe today. He's like, I'm gonna do 10 push-ups. He did 30. So yeah, always aim higher. You're more capable than you think. And when you do aim higher, you're going to be like me. You're going to wake up and you're going to be on the go already. And you're going to be super productive for the day. Other tip, make the stakes high or make your brain believe they are. There was an interesting guy that came for a week. That was last year. His name was Lars. I don't know if you guys, yeah, you met him. Yeah, he was at the Christmas party too. Yeah. And Lars was building an app called Way of Life. It was a daily habit tracking. And there was a little gamification in it where like when you did mark that you did the task, you would see like just a green square to say that you had it, but if you didn't, then it would break your streak and you wouldn't see all that green everywhere. And that worked well for a lot of people, but we were discussing a new idea, and I think that exists already, which is when you don't meet your goal, give something you like to your worst enemy. I kind of like this idea, personally. It's you don't want to give something you like to your worst enemy. And if you set your goals that way, you're going to want to achieve it. You're going to do everything to achieve it. Like in my case, the bodybuilding that I'm doing right now is not necessarily pointless. Like I'm doing it to be healthier. I want to look better, things like that. And I haven't seen my wife in 6 months. So maybe she's going to leave me if I don't look good. Right. But I have an online store. I sell Viking gear, and I started that 3 months ago, and it did extremely poorly. I was very bad at selling the stuff. It was a new thing. It was a new skill. I wanted to try it out. See if I could get money that way. And I didn't. So one of the ideas I had last month was to bulk up and look more like a Viking. I got the beard going on, the shaved sides. I don't have my ring right now because I knew I would play with it. So my ring's right here. And basically I want to start doing videos. And if I present Viking stuff and I look like a Viking, I better look bigger. Like someone who's gonna watch a guy selling Viking stuff who's a skinny ass Viking, who's gonna buy from him, right? Who's gonna buy from the skinny ass Viking?
I don't know, that might be a good domain.
The light bulb went off. That's good.
I'm gonna try both.
I like that, yeah.
I'm gonna try both.
Play test.
I'm gonna play test. I'm getting bigger, so the momentum's going. So yeah, if I don't reach my goal of 5 kilos, that store's gonna go to shit. That's how I see it. Other tip. Prepare yourself. So, I'm learning 3 skills. Every month, as I said, so writing this month, bodybuilding, and meditating. I forgot to mention it before. So I'm meditating.
Medicating.
Meditating. Meditating is a better skill, yeah. So I can't really prepare for meditating, but obviously I could prepare for bodybuilding. Especially when you aim that high, you can't just go, just say like, I'm gonna go to the gym and, you know, eat some protein. It just won't work. So that plan that I had for when I created my meal plan, my 7 dishes every day, that actually took me a full day to come up with it. I broke everything down into their grams to calorie ratio, and like for my body type, I researched exactly how many proteins I should be eating, how many carbs I should be eating, how much fat I should be eating. So that took a full day, but it's working. It's working. If I didn't prepare for that and I would eat pasta every day or pizza or things like that or chips, for me it's the chips. As soon as I finish this month, I'm buying the biggest bag of chip I can find here, drinking dark beer and eating a full pizza. It's not even going to be hard anymore. It's going to be great. So yeah, I prepare myself. I knew exactly what I would be eating, exactly when I would be eating it. So far it's been working. My workout was exactly the same. Research what exercises I should be doing for my body type. So for the workout, it's been working really well. For writing, obviously, I got published, and I'm now officially a writer for them. So it's been working as well. I do save quotes that I find online, save that in a document. That's a good source of inspiration for me in the morning. I read the quotes, and I'm like, oh, I could be talking about this specific quote, and I start from there. Or I start from what I hear from the Tim Ferriss show or things like that. So, yeah.
I'm doing this thing with this company. It's called Ultra Working.
Yeah.
And so for tomorrow, I'll do this with my team where it's a 4-hour sprint. 25 minutes of work, 5-minute planning, 10-minute break, 25 minutes of work.
Like the Pomodoro technique.
Similar to that.
I like that. That shows dedication.
It's a very specific thing, like you're talking about. And at first, it's like, this is dumb, blah, blah, blah. Just go. Push yourself as hard. But, you know, there's another Navy SEAL story where they talk about having those guys run as far as they can.
Yeah.
Most of them stop at about 10 or 11 miles when most of them can easily do a marathon.
But yeah.
If you don't know the end goal, it's very difficult to measure, and you feel exhausted early, because you're not hitting those milestones. That's what I've been at earlier when you're talking about setting very high goals. Yeah. Is one thing, but ticking off the milestones as you approach that is also very important, because they're small victories and things that you can show that you build yourself against.
I'll get to that.
And so if anybody reminds me, I can send everybody that sheet. It's pretty cool just to take a look at.
Cool, yeah, for sure.
Thinking about it, even that 5 minutes of planning it out.
Yeah. Well, to get to that point still, like when you think about, what's it called? 100 meter dash or something. Like 100 years ago, I don't know how fast they ran it, but today all of us can run it. This is like a change of perspective. You see someone reach somewhere and you're like, oh, this is really high. And then someone beats it and you're like, oh, we can actually beat that and beat that and beat that. And now, like the world record, we're going to beat it. 100 years from now, everyone's going to run at that speed. It's true. It's true. It happens. So when you aim higher, even if the limit, the current limit is something, doesn't mean you can go beyond that, right? Be obsessed. This is not me. This is Conor McGregor. A lot of people actually think it's me when I take the plane. All the Asians look at me and like, Connor? I'm like, yeah, no. But this guy has an interesting thing to say. Like he's obviously talented. He denies it, but he's obviously very talented. But the reason why he's good, he's not better than other people. He's just more obsessed. He measures every single gain. Every little thing that he does, he watches his matches. He obsesses over his technique, things he eats as well. And by being obsessed, you see improvements happen constantly. Every day, I weigh myself, obviously, because I'm trying to gain weight. I measure the size of my biceps, of my shoulders, of my legs. Everything. So, if I have a bad day, I get one improvement. That's amazing, right? If you measure everything, you're always gonna get a gain. And it feels good. It feels good. You wake up, you go to the gym, and you're like, shit, yeah. I'm like, my bicep's like 1 inch bigger. It's awesome.
You had something else to those shakes.
The full size, yeah. But it is though. It is. It absolutely is. This guy's actually slightly bigger than me. I'd love to have exactly this guy's size. I think he's, 65 kilos. So maybe next month. We'll see. Maybe I'll take a break for a while. All right. Life hacks are done. Anything useful so far? Did anyone learn anything? Anyone pumped? Who's going to apply these things? Anyone's going to listen to podcasts? Nice. That's the easiest one. And flipping a coin. Flipping a coin is real easy too. If you can't do that one, well, you can't do anything. Right?
Do you have recommendations like for podcasts, like apps for podcasts to kind of download them and listen to them offline? Is it just a standard app?
The best one for Apple is for iOS is the stock one.
It's pretty awesome.
I think it was Greg Farrell. That was his name, right?
Greg, yeah.
He was doing podcasts and he was telling me, I don't remember if he was talking only to me, but he was telling me that I think it was 90% of his listeners were using the app. So
yeah, it's really good because you can speed it up, slow down, you can set it so it
But, exactly, so I switched to Android, so I had to find one, right? It's not my fault, I had to change. The iPhone 6 battery problem is just too bad. Like, I can't use my phone. It's true. It's terrible. But they announced that they're actually going to lower the price to change the battery. And
stop artificially making them suck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really dramatic. I had to switch phones. The one I'm using is called Podcast Addict. And I think it's the top one on Android.
Stitcher? Stitcher, I think, is a podcast.
Stitcher?
Platform.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be pretty good. I'm not sure.
Yeah, when I did my research, they were mentioning that Podcast Addict one. I think it was top on the Android store. It's really not as good as the iOS one, but.
Pocket Cast is quite good as well. I've used that.
Pocket Cast? Yeah.
I used to Spotify. There's also Chapter's podcast.
Oh, interesting.
One which is quite good is the School of Greatness. I think it's similar to the Tim Ferriss show.
Yeah, yeah. So, cool.
Yeah.
I will definitely check that one out. There's plenty of content, though, in the Tim Ferriss show.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you balance between, like, you talk about learning a skill set every month.
Yep.
How do you balance
that's a good question.
A skill set and mastering something? Because I feel like I scratch the surface of a lot of things, but it's really hard to go deep on something and really learn something. And I feel like when I go on my podcast now, it's like 90% of them are work-related, and I go to the 10% that aren't work-related all the time because I feel like mentally drained, exhausted. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're too hyper-focused. You know, how do you balance? Because Tim Ferriss' podcast is very interesting because it's on all these random things.
Yeah.
So you're learning something, but it's not a super deep dive.
Yeah.
So do you balance those two? Are you trying to master things or just learn a lot?
I personally don't master many things because mastery takes so much longer. It takes so much time. But learning a skill, and the reason I started that is I watched a video where a guy was talking about learning to play the guitar, and he was trying to dismiss the fact that people think that learning a new skill takes a long time. But in fact, it doesn't. Mastering a skill is what takes time. So he basically didn't know how to play guitar. He wanted to learn it, and he wanted to show the world that it's actually possible to learn in a short period of time. So he gave himself a full month, 45 minutes, playing every day, and he came on stage with his guitar, and to me, he played amazingly. He played incredibly. He played a lot of songs that are famous. I don't remember which ones they were. And he made his own songs as well. And one of the reasons he was able to achieve that was because he deconstructed the 80%, the 20% amount of work he needed to do in order to learn 80% of the skill. So I'm definitely not a musician, but I think he said something along the lines that in the popular songs, there's like four major chords that are needed to play them. And then you mix and match, and you can come up with something. So by mastering these four chords, he was able to play really, really well. And that's a really, really good strategy when trying to learn a new skill. Before even starting, that comes back to the preparation. Before even starting, you research on what's the best way to learn that skill. I learned to draw. That was the first skill that I picked, actually. I learned to draw. And I always thought that being the logical person that I am, like I'm a programmer, I do everything logically. I'm super precise on time and like math. I'm a mathy guy, right? And I was like, there's no way I could ever draw. And I did. I actually did. Like, I would never ever, like, do my full game. Like, I would never draw for my game. But I can definitely draw concepts, give that to my artists, and they have a very, very clear picture of what I can do, of what I want them to do. So I learned line art, sketches first, line art. And then coloring, just like the basis of starting to learn to draw. So, yeah. Work hacks. Ready, everyone? Yeah. All right. That comes down to what Matt was saying. Break everything down into smaller chunks. Whenever you have a task assigned to you, which is very, very broad. For example, one of my systems that I was working on, I called it the feats system, which is an achievement system for my game. and my task was build achievement system. That's broad. How long is that going to take me? I don't know. I don't even know what it is, right? So I broke it down. I'm using Trello. I'm not sure if anyone else is using Trello. Yeah. So I had a card that said feature. And basically I created checklists for different components. Front end, back end, UI, things like that. And I peeled it down step by step. I'm like, okay, what's a feed system? Well, I need a UI. I need this panel, I need this button, this button, I need this button to do this, it needs to call the back end, and like everything down to the chunk. And it ended up being precisely 52 different checkboxes. 52. When you break it down, like to the small detail, like you need these small wins in order to keep going. Like if I only left that task to be one single task, it would have taken me a week and my motivation would be gone. Like I wouldn't even want to work on it. After 2 days, I'd be like, fuck, I accomplished nothing. I've checked nothing. Now, every 15 minutes, checking. Yeah. Got all this dopamine that's building up inside me. Like, I want more win. And I'm getting it. So, it's a really good way to stay motivated. And one thing I do in Trello is that for every task that I do, I always keep the one that I'm working on top in the checklist. So that if I get interrupted for any reason, which obviously happens to all of us, I remember exactly what I'm going to be, what I was working on. And, because it's only a 15 minute task on average, it doesn't take that long either to get back to that mental state. So know these small items and always keep the top one. The one you're working on at the top. For me, it's working really well. I don't know if anyone's doing something similar, but yeah, it's working well. Start the day with an easy task. Anyone knows this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
This video is amazing.
This video is absolutely incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. If you haven't seen it, you have to watch it.
I actually did this for a week. After watching it, and I was so inspired.
Yeah.
I really started to, and my girlfriend can tell you that I never edited that.
Full name for that, right?
Like, for a full week, I did do it. I probably should go back to it.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't work. I'm telling you this tip, but it doesn't work. Don't make your bed. It's shit. Who needs to make their bed? It changes nothing. It changes absolutely nothing. That's why I put an easy task. Something related to what you're doing. So in my case, when I start working, I start on one of the simplest tasks that I can do. Easy bug fix. Change of color on a button. So easy. But it's moving me towards my goals. It's not a ridiculous thing like making your bed. It's something that I care about. It's these first few tasks. I typically do one or two. These first few tasks that completely pump me to do, what's next, which is the hardest task. So for me, the best time for me to work on my hardest task is in the morning. So as soon as I finish my easy task, I've got the energy, I had my coffee, I'm ready. I had my protein bars as well. All good. So I think it happened to pretty much all of us when in a certain time for me in the afternoon where I'm trying to debug something, I was trying to figure out how to come up with a solution for something I'm working on. It's just not happening. And like, I can't figure it out. So I need to take a break. I need to figure it out and think, okay, this is okay. I will not complete this now. I'm going to leave this for when I'm going to be working the best. And for me, that's in the morning. So find your best time to work on your hardest task. This is a really good tip. I do really, I'm always happy when I think of stopping and doing it when I've got all the energy. Here's one that I don't think a lot of people do, but it's very easy. It's very, very easy. Before I go to bed, or actually for myself, when I finish work, I write the tasks that I'm going to be working on the next day. And I include everything. So not just work-related, but also...
I want to say that I do it, but it never works.
No? Why not?
I don't know. But I never get it.
Okay.
You just write it down, but never do it.
Well, the reason for doing it the night before is when you review the list of tasks that you have to do, your brain, your subconscious works while you're sleeping. So you think about the things you have to do, and your brain works on how to actually solve the problems that you set out to do the next day. And this combined with aiming freaking high, this is a really good way to wake up, because if I did think about an article the night before, I'm pumped to write it right away. If I thought about the exercises that I'm going to be doing, if I write it down, I know exactly what I'm going to do, and I'm pumped for it. So I wake up in the morning, and this, I've got the energy. Should give it a try again. Anyone else does that?
I try.
Yeah?
I think it's really important, too, to kind of, especially if you don't have one specific purpose and focus and job and task, if you're juggling multiple things, having that shortcut so you don't sit there and be like, oh, what am I doing here? Why did I think about this? If you can, your last thought about something the day before, and you can just reread that, and it gets you right back to that place so much faster, because something I talked with Catalina a lot about when she was doing two different jobs, and the switching from one perspective to the other, you end up wasting so much time every time you switch. And I think it's really important to have just even a little bit of a reminder that jobs are bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Difficult again.
Yeah?
Do you not find, though, that it's important to, like, switch off at the end of the night? Like, just before you go to bed, if you're writing a list of stuff that you want
to helps. It helps a lot. Yeah. It's like journaling, basically. Yeah. You've got these thoughts.
It actually takes the thought off your mind. Physically writing it down.
Yeah.
That's a big principle in the getting things done. Have you heard of David Allen?
Yeah.
GTD. It's a big thing with Trello as well, is that writing it down and putting it in a trusted place where you know to look at it and let your brain let go.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on to these things, because it's like, I know this is important, but I don't have it put anywhere, so I need to hold on to it. And that's why it's an interesting theory, because it talks about why you remember important things when you're in the grocery store or in the shower. Your brain triggers, it's good at knowing what things are important. It's very bad at remembering at logical times.
Yes.
It reminds you of all these goofy times because you don't have a trusted place to put them. But it's very difficult. I know it sounds very logical. I find it very difficult to do that.
Yeah? Yeah, I don't know. It's a habit. If you keep to it, I find that it sticks.
I really wish, but I'm getting sucked into this vortex every day. And then I'm gone.
Yeah, but it definitely helped me on that, actually.
The theory behind it sounds interesting.
It's a lot of the trust. Your mind trust that you're putting in a place that you go to review every day. So that review is super important, too, because your brain trusts that you're putting it there and you'll look at it again. Just write it down and don't look at it again. The brain's like, well, just like another bullshit Word document that you open and never look at again.
Because
there's 10,000 of those on everybody's computer.
And I think that the best thing is when you write it down, then you cross that you made it. So
again,
then
that's the same thing with checking things off the list.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I got that done. It's not quite done. It's partially done.
Yeah.
Yeah, use it too. Yeah. All right, there's, I think, three more. Maybe we've got 12 minutes left, so it's not too bad. Take breaks and relax. I don't know if any of you, well, some of you have seen me sleep on my desk.
Every day.
Pretty much every day.
Look at that lazy Canadian.
Pretty much every day. I sleep on my desk. It's, I did too. You did?
I used to do that when I was working in China. Everybody in China, they would just take a break and take a nap whenever you have 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And everybody would have neck pillows on their chair because everybody had their own and you would take a nap whenever you had some time.
Well, that's smart because I'm definitely not comfortable on my desk.
At least David doesn't snore.
Yeah, for me, it started when I was in Cambodia before here, and in Cambodia it was a co-working, co-living space, and I was living upstairs, so whenever I was tired, for me that's normally between 2 and 4, whenever I was tired, I knew I couldn't work on my hardest task, so I would just go upstairs and nap, and it's a skill, like it's very hard to nap. You have to take about 15 minutes. Otherwise, when you wake up, you're not going to feel great. If you take less, well, good for you, but it's hard to do.
Yeah, I read some, I think it was Tim Ferriss or somebody, one of those guys that's like a biohacker. And
yeah.
They would take a 15-minute nap every day, but they would take a shot of espresso before
yes.
they took a nap.
Yes.
The caffeine doesn't kick in for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nap,
yeah.
And then the caffeine wakes yeah. up immediately.
Absolutely. They call this the coffee nap. And,
I've heard the term power nap.
No, power nap is without the coffee.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. Coffee, power nap is basically the 15-minute nap. But that coffee nap is killer. It works. It really does work. I don't do it because I don't sleep at night. So I do naps. 15 minutes, it takes me, basically I put 25 minute timer because it takes me 15 to fall asleep.
I feel like that's why I don't nap, it takes me too long to fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly. So I end up napping for like 10 minutes when I do 25 minute timer. When you wake up, it's kind of terrible. You're kind of out of place. You're like, oh fuck, what was I doing? Why did I do that?
Yeah, I think it really varies for people because,
yeah.
You know,
well, that's the thing. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to get back into it.
Do you wear earplugs?
I have Bluetooth headsets. I listen to, I actually listen to the same thing every time. Anyone knows Hans Zimmer? Composer of Gladiator, Batman, Pirates of the Caribbean. I listened to one song from Gladiator on repeat. It's called Earth. It's one of the smoothest songs that he has. I fall asleep better that way.
But it's important to set the alarm so you can
yes.
send to the nap.
Yeah.
Otherwise you worry. And as soon as you
yeah.
Wake up, you run around the sofa. So you're strictly becoming more alert.
Yeah, that's a good trick, yeah. I stretch on my desk, but yeah, that's even better. And now I actually don't, I always wake up before the alarm now, but, it takes time. It's a skill. I'm good at it. My favorite one in that though, like this is an article that I found, my favorite one, and you're probably not gonna see from there, but it's this one here. Rest your legs up on a wall. I just arms like this and legs on a wall. Like I just imagine someone in the co-working space doing that. If anyone does that. I'm gonna lose the mic if I do that. I would totally do it. I would totally do it. But yeah, for me, I basically nap or take a walk, which are good ways to do it, but everything.
Walk and listen to a podcast on 2x speed.
No, I listen to music when I walk, yeah. Alright. Remember the ultimate goal? Anyone recognize this guy? Elon Musk. And this is not a giant dildo. This is... This is a rocket. On his desk, Elon Musk always reminds himself that he likes big objects. No, that he, that his goal is to go to Mars and colonize Mars. And the best way for him to do that is to have his rocket on the side of his desk. And I think in front of him, he's got like pictures of Mars. So back when I was in Cambodia, I wasn't that motivated to work on my game, but I had this, this thing that I made, which is, it's called a paper foldable. So it's the Soul Reaper, the main character in my game that you can cut and fold together and it stands like a, with a cardboard, not cardboard, but thicker paper. So it stands and I put that next to my monitor, at work and I was like always reminded that this is, I'm doing it for this. Like this is the bigger picture because every day you're so deep down your small tasks and little things that you do, like, for myself, it's programming, like a small feature or a bug fix that you forget, what the main thing that you're doing really is. And for me, that worked really well. I was way more motivated that way. An easy one. Saving the best for last. Surround yourself with like-minded individuals. A lot of us have tried working from home. A lot of us still do. I don't, but I find it really hard to be motivated. For me, I don't know what it is. Like I work better when people can see that I'm working. So if I'm at my desk and I have my coding window open, and people can see it, I'm like, yeah, they know I'm working. I'm working. I'm doing it.
Except when you're napping.
When I'm napping, yeah, it's true. I should leave the code open when I nap. And basically, when I started working from co-working spaces in Cambodia and here, I had done it before in the past, but in Cambodia and here was where I started to be really, really productive. Like 10 times, I did 10 times more work than I would if I was at home, just for that social aspect. And a lot of you may not believe it, but I used to be a really, really big introvert. That was 6 months ago. So so I would never do this talk here. And if I came here, I would not have introduced myself or talked to you. I was that shy. So. Co-working spaces have worked in my favor. Now I'm a bit too social. I wish I could focus more on my work, but every time I go into the kitchen, there's always someone interesting to talk to, which is a problem. I'm not always in the kitchen. Well, I do eat 7 times a day, right? And that's the tips I have. And it's actually end of time, but I saw no one take notes, but it's filmed, so you can look at it again. And there's the work tips that are on the blog as well. Life tips, well, I hope you're going to remember them. That's easy. Flip a coin, aim high, prepare yourself, be obsessed, blah, blah, blah. Just imagine me putting on 6 kilos and you'll get it. 5 kilos. Yeah, I won't go through that. So... cheers to a productive year. Kamonata!
Thank you so much.